words, amen.
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 Where can I go? Ain't nowhere to go.
No.
Anybody else coming to save us?
Amen.
Anybody else gonna love you enough? Took somebody that did nothing wrong to be sin for us. And even while he was here, we didn't love him. We didn't care. Nobody stopped him. He didn't say nothing. He just let it happen. Like a sheep ready to be slaughtered. Even while he was on the cross, they were still saying, he saved others. Why can't he save himself now? If he be the Son of God, save yourself. And then you got a selfish, narcissistic thief on the cross saying, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and us. And then Jesus had the gall and the courage to say, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. There ain't nobody else on earth could have said something like that unless God was with them. Only love can forgive all of that and not show any kind of hate, no remorse, no malice or ill will towards them. He just took it. I couldn't have done it. Can't do it. And then reading these words, where could I go? Imagine. And then right before he started, and Brother Kevin with his prayer about his family, and it's just, if you're in the hospital, you can't even get a bed. 2 days straight, you don't know what's going on with you. Hospital's so full because of this virus that was man-made. And we put ourselves in this situation. And the rest of humanity has to deal with it. How people can be so cruel and so heartless to induce a virus that animals supposed to get, but trick it and activate it in a way that people now can get it. And we got doctors and scientists trying to figure out how to remedy it. And the reason why they're having a hard time, and they finally, I think they're getting a hold on it, is because it changes. It adapts. That's why it's called Corona 19. Because there was 18 different versions of it. This is the 19th version. And this is the version that got so many people messed up. So many people have died and still saying it ain't real. They still saying, oh, it's just this, it's just that. No. This thing is real.
A lot of people don't take it serious, though.
They don't take it serious because it ain't happening to them.
Yes.
When something hits your door, that's when you... That's when it's real. It's real easy to pray when it ain't you. When it becomes you, that's when God really tests you. It's easier to be holy or act holy around holy. Imagine someone pushing your buttons and saying all the things that's going to get on your nerves. That's when you, that's the true test to let God know I'm still holy. Okay, it's in the face of adversity is when your character is really challenged. Jesus, his character was challenged in Gethsemane. That part, him praying twice to God, let this cup pass from him. He prayed twice. He didn't pray once. He prayed a second time just to see if there's any other way. He already had prepared his heart to know what he was, the kind of pain and anguish he was going to go through. But more so, it wasn't the physical pain. It wasn't that. The physical pain, yeah, it was bad. But remember that word, sticks and stones may never, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me? Those words that they were saying to him, they cut. Just like those thorns that they put on his head. And then they want to rally around him. Hail, King. They hate the Jews. And then you got someone who was labeled the King of the Jews. And he was. He was the King of the Jews. And that's exactly how they treated him. The King of all I hate. And that's the way the world looks at us today. You know? Jesus asked a question. Let's go to Luke chapter 18 and verse number 8. Jesus asked a question. I talked about it when I first got here today. When Jesus asks questions, a lot of times they're very hard to answer. He says, Luke 18 verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will I even find people who still bear my name, who still worship my Father, and will still stand for the cause of Christ? Will I find people, lamps, that are still burning? And the only way the lamp is going to burn is if you have your own oil. You got to have your own oil in order to burn lamps at that time. You can't go and borrow it from somebody else or wait to the last minute to go to the wedding, because you're out doing all this other stuff. You got to have your own oil in order for the lamp to be burning. Will I find that? Is faith diminishing on earth? Faith in God is diminishing day by day, year by year. Statisticians and researchers have produced many reports showing the decline in faith, not only in the world, but in America and in the Western world. When a crisis strikes our world, it can be war, it can be terrorist attacks, or a health pandemic like we're in right now, we often see a short-lived return to the faith. Many prayers go up to God for a short while people sit on the pew, and researchers see that a poll was found that most people are praying more during the coronavirus breakout than ever before. Why are people praying more now? Because things are not good right now. Okay? A lot of businesses have shut down. Gyms, restaurants, sports teams, schools, programs have all done. Because you need funding for this stuff. We're America's on this gravy train. Things were going so great. This city thrives off of tourism, entertainment, and attractions. Losing hundreds of millions of dollars a month in revenue. Because of we're dependent on that. And right now, you know, the reason why churches are such a disarray right now, because things are so convenient. And we have, some of us have the same mindset of the world. Well, I can do it at home. I don't have to come. when I already have these at my house? All I gotta do is have one of the brothers do the Lord's Supper, and I can just take this part off, eat it, take the other part off, and drink it, have my sermon right there while I'm cozy in my bed. I can just stay in my bed. Take this, and then I may doze off because I'm in my bed. The brother does a sermon, you know, and then I just go back to bed. I don't have to physically get up. I don't have to get myself ready. I got up. Well, that's not going to do. God's not going to see that and think you did the best for me. You did your best by getting up. I think not. Because if you still work, you're going to get up Monday morning and get dressed, brush your teeth, look presentable, and then you're going to go to your desk. If you're teleworking, you're going to get up and go to your desk. You're going to speak a whole lot different because you think those are the people that are paying you. Their attention is worth way more than God's attention on Sunday, when he's the one who even lets you make it to the next day. But he's not worth an hour of your time, of you giving him your best. You're going to give the world your best. You give the world your best because you think that the world is the one who's providing for you. And you have forgotten that it's God. Yeah. He's the one who has your breath in his hands. Don't forget that God. Don't forget. We can be very forgetful when things are going good. That's why people pray so much when things are going bad. But when things start going good again, Lord, bless me so I can leave you. And that's what we do. I'm not trying to make this a doom and gloom sermon. I'm asking a question that Jesus asked. Shall I find faith when I return? So what he's saying is, I'm going to leave you for a little bit. And I'm coming back. The ones I'm speaking this to may not be here when I come back. But we are reading these words today, thousands of years later. And these words still ring true because he has not come back yet. So that tells you and I, these words are for us. They're for us. Why should we be concerned about society and what in large believes? As long as we do what's right, how can the world's rejection of God affect us? Of course, we sorrow over what we see, and there's a big danger of wrong ideas rubbing off on us, and we are not careful, but there's a whole lot more, okay? There's a whole lot more. It's been proven that faith in God of the Bible has a huge positive impact on society. It does. It absolutely does. Don't you know that people are more comfortable living around Christians? Even if you're not a Christian, you can believe in, maybe Buddhism or you may be a Muslim or something like that. But even with all of that, there are morally grounded people. They're not going to, they don't want to cause any disarray or anything. But people who don't believe in nothing, those are the ones you need to be concerned about, because they're not going to care what happens to you either. But people like living around Christians because they know who Christ is. Well, they say they know who Christ is. You don't read about Christ causing any trouble. You don't read about him shooting up anybody or want to start a rebellion or wants to, or any terrorists or anything like that. He's not going to cause anything like that. Jesus said straight up, I come not to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. I did not come to judge the world. I came to save the world. So you want to live around someone who believes in the words of someone who said, I come to save the world. And he did. Not physically. Because Jesus said straight up, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. But a sword. You can't win a war with peace. You win a war with soldiers. You win a war with soldiers. You win a war with plans. Without a plan, you ain't winning no war. And it takes soldiers to win. That's what he's saying. All right. If a nation strays away from this religious basis, what can we expect? What can we expect? The fallings in government and justice, unhappiness. We have now drugs, epidemics. We have violent crimes. Families are breaking down. These are results of a nation distancing itself from God and its way of life. We see it happening right now, and it's all around us, okay? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Watch what it says. I need a King James. I don't like this. I need King James. Brother Montgomery, you got King James?
No.
I need you to read that one. I have it here in my...
Yeah, I have one right here.
Okay, but I can't get to it fast enough.
Proverbs 29:18.
What does it say?
Where there is no vision.
Where there is no vision.
The people perish.
The people perish.
But he that keepeth the law.
But he that keepeth the law.
Happy is he.
Happy is he. And right now we're in a very unhappy world. But he that keepeth the law. That is an individual. But where there is no vision. If this country has no vision, the people are going to perish. Right now, this country has no vision because we don't know who we're going to believe in. We don't know who we're following. What do we know? On both sides. Sometimes acting like a bunch of kids. We attack more politically on Twitter than what we do face to face. It's very sad how things become so digital and they make it so serious. It can change the whole tide of a party by what words are being traded on Twitter. Social media now has become social capitalism. And it's very, very bad. It's very bad. Here's number one. Today we have more solutions to our previously unsolved problems. They have been more medical advances to handle our ever-growing number of ailments. There are more medical care that's available and extended to more people. With the recent epidemics, doctors and scientists have quick, and they're finding and implementing treatments to help people elevate the severity of their problems. Therefore, we're relying way more on pills, on medical attention, on these doctors and therapists to solve all of our problems instead of going to the great Dr. God. Instead of going to him, to being our wonderful counselor and our confidant. God wants you to be happy. And he wants you to be healthy. He wants you to have exercise. This is Paul was an athlete. Paul wrestled. Paul did all kind of stuff. He was in shape. But he was also an apostle. Okay? So if God wants you to be in shape. Okay? And he's saying for us. That our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. If this is what our body is, not supposed to harm ourselves, then that tells you that God wants us to be healthy. And if we're healthy, we won't be going to the doctors as much. If we're not going to doctors as much, we're not dependent on what they're telling us. Because believe it or not, they want you to be on pills the rest of your life. That's what they really want. It's all about the almighty dollar. It's all about the profit. That's what they want you to be in. It's all about damage control. Control the damage. We can keep collecting off this person. This person now has subscribed. And that's an ongoing thing. It don't stop. But if we're taking care of ourselves, we won't be relying as much. Then we can pray more to have God help us. And the more we pray, and the Bible says pray without ceasing, the more we are connected to God, the more we're going to read His word, the more we're going to be reminded we need to stay healthy, and the less we depend on these doctors and these holistic treatments, we will be taking care of ourselves because we'll be laughing more, we'll have more joy, and if no one is taking that, then we'll have less stress. If we have a happy life and family, that right there will take care of a whole lot of stresses in your life because now you have God with you going on these things. There is nothing in these doctors and solutions. There's nothing wrong with this technology. I'm not saying that. But when you are dependent on that more than God's word, you are in trouble. Now, God will tell you, use common sense, if there's something really wrong with you, go to the doctor. But what He's saying is, don't put that doctor over me. And we do. We do. We'll take the doctor's opinion over God. A doctor's opinion over God. And God ain't going to give you no opinion. I'm not going to give you an opinion. All right. Number two, we have more wealth and more various social systems. So people are not without help of some sort. Yet a long time ago, and more people have been putting their trust and faith in the government and at the expense of having faith in God. Interestingly enough, social scientists will tell you that more than half the population becomes dependent on the government. There is no turning back once you start doing that. Wouldn't it be great if half the population puts its resilience in Almighty God instead when it comes to help? This government assistance is not the best thing. I didn't want no stimulus check. The reason why I didn't want it is because now people are depending on another one. And then we don't get one, you're going to blame the government for it. Instead of working hard and finding something for you to do. That's what you should be doing. But God wants us to be, God doesn't want us to have debt. God doesn't want us to be in no rat race. If we have been being diligent with the money we've given us and being content, but at the same time not being complacent, we will have enough money to where when this time comes around, we wouldn't need to depend on the stimulus check to bail us out. We put ourselves in these situations and we want the government to bail us out. We have companies that refuse to take the money. Ford refused to take the money in 2008. Don't bail us out. We'll bail ourselves out. Even if we have to go bankrupt, we're not going to take your money. All these other companies, Chrysler, Dodge, they took the money. And they took a dive by doing it because the quality of their product went down. Ford went up. Now they're on top. Because... They were saying, I'm not taking a dime because we are the ones to put ourselves in this situation. Why would we should bail? If we depend on the government to bail us out, now they have a hand in what we're doing. And that's what you don't want. That's why the public school system is so messed up. Because it's government funded. It's public. If it wasn't public, people would be way better off. Because now your own money is going into it and you have a say-so on what you want to be taught. Now they're making it to where they can teach. They're going to teach on the history of homosexual. They're going to teach the history of it because it's government funded. You have no say in it. You can vote out of it, or you can sign a consent saying, "I don't want my kid learning this." But as soon as you put trust in the government, they can do whatever they want. You can't trust them. You can't trust them. Trust God. I'm not saying they don't obey the law, but don't trust them. They can't even trust themselves. Let's go to Psalms 62, verse 9. All right, look at what it says. Low-born men are but a breath and highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they're only a breath. What did it say, Brother Montgomery, from when you got it?
It says, Surely men of low degree are vanity. And the men of high degree.
And men of high degree.
Are a lie.
Are a lie.
To be laid in the balance.
To be laid in the balance. So you put them both together, what are they going to be? Keep reading.
They are altogether lighter than vanity.
Lighter than nothing. That's what he's saying. People low degree are nothing. People of high degree are just liars. You weigh them together and you put it all together, they're lighter than nothing. That's how good our government is. That's how good our government is. The institution of the United States was founded upon the principles of the Bible. But the people who implement the Constitution was only geared to a certain people. It was not catered to all men. The Bible is written to all men, but is not for all men. That's the difference. Same way with the Constitution. It's the same way. It's written to all men, but it's not for all men. The Bible is written to all men, but it ain't for all men. It's only for those who are going to obey what Jesus said. For many will come to me on that day. Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many mighty works and cast out many demons. And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Basically, get out of my face. Depart from me those who work iniquity. Because when you work iniquity, what that word iniquity is a lifestyle of sin. No, you live a completely different life from me. You say my name, but the lifestyle you live is only to cater yourself. That's why he's saying, have I not done many wonderful works? I. Whenever Jesus is talking, he never says I. He always says, why do you call me good? There is only one that's good, and that is God. So that's how I know you ain't about me. If you was about me, you would say something completely different. Through you have I not done many works. Not have I done many works. That's how you know. Take I out of it. You take I out of it. Jesus always gave the glory to his Father. Only time he asks for glory of himself is because he asks the Father to give him glory. That's the only time. That's how it works. And that's how you know. All right. Again, human governments, the world, are woefully, we are unprepared. Our government was unprepared for this virus. They knew about it way back in October, November. They were told about it. They didn't do nothing. They like, it ain't coming here. We'd be all right. It came here quickly. And we were not prepared. All it took was a couple months for everything to shut down. March 15th is going to mark a day in history. For the day where one occurrence can cause the whole world to be on shutdown. And that, this virus ain't God. This virus is something man-made. And then people don't want to believe the flood. You can believe a pandemic can shut the whole world down, but you don't want to believe a flood will put the whole world above the highest mountains. But we want to believe this. Isn't that crazy? See, our minds are just Wake up. Wake up. All right? Number three, and I don't have time to get through all of it. We have more knowledge now, and we know more of finding solutions. We have Google. We have all these things that can tell us what we should do and where we should be. We don't research things ourselves, and we are not as faithful. Our faith is misplaced. We don't dig enough. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9. We're going to read verse 20 and 21. It's easy now to just go online and listen to the preacher and pastor of your choice. It's going to come to where people are going to be so habitual to having these Zoom things. They're not going to want to go out. They're going to socially distance themselves from any human physical interaction. And that is very harmful, but it's very, very shrewd by Satan. Because now there's that separation. Even when you think that, no, I'm having worship with God, no, you're still by yourself. Because when there is an option for you to meet with the brothers and sisters physically, you should make every opportunity to do that by you just staying home, knowing that you do have the physical, strength to get up and go somewhere. You should do it, because guess what? If I got a headache, I ain't got no Tylenol, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Drink more water? Water ain't going to do so much. You ain't going to stay home. Even if you ain't got no car, you're going to walk to CVS or whatever store and get some Tylenol. You ain't going to just keep that headache going. You're going to do something. You're hungry. You ain't got no food. What you going to do? Starve yourself? What are you going to do? You're going to get up and go to the store. What about our hunger for God? See, even if I had a headache, it wouldn't stop me from doing the sermon. Headache ain't enough. Because I know I would have a headache and still go to work. That's why. But now it's the exact opposite. I have a headache and do a sermon. If I got a headache, I ain't going to work. I'm going to stay home because I got a lot of sick time. That's how that works. Okay, you prioritize what you're going to get up for. God wants you to get up for him. He gets you up. All right. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. All right. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these people still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping the demons and the idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood and idols. They cannot see or hear or walk. It ain't like they ain't got legs. Ain't like they got got mouths. Ain't like they got ears. They have all these things. But when you still cannot see what is happening right before you, or you just denying what's going on, and you still refuse to turn to God, there is a problem. If this pandemic is not enough to get you to ask the question, am I really right with God? Have I not examined myself enough? Am I really where I'm supposed to be? I got all this time. I got all this luxury of time. Why am I not studying more? Why am I not closer to God? Why am I not smarter than what I was before March? There have been thousands of hours that you had time to get in this Bible. Why have you not done it? You may not ever get time like this again. Things can go back. Everyone will be going to work every day. There won't be no more masks. Where have all the time went? What did you do? The Bible tells us to redeem the time. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. They're not good. The time God has given you is good. The time is good. The days are evil. So what should you do? No one can work at night. What that means is in the grave. You can't work at night. That's what Jesus is saying. I got to work while there's day. Because at nighttime, no one can work. All right? Not even God. All right? He doesn't work at night because all the work is done after that. Ain't nothing to do. Sorry, you can't save me in the grave. All right? 21. Nor do they repent for their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. If you didn't know this, tarot card readers are on the rise. They making all kind of money. These psychics, these so-called mind readers, these people are making a killing right now. Okay? I live next to some people who are not, I don't know this for sure, but it don't look like they're doing some good things in that house. Because there's a whole lot of high-profile people. They're always coming in and out of that house. Their business is going very good. Because the kind of cars that pull up in that driveway are not the kind of cars that belong in that neighborhood, in my neighborhood. I'm talking about cars that's worth 3 or 4 times as much as some of the houses in the neighborhood kind of cars. And I'm like, there's something going on. And they always show up after 6, 7 o'clock. Ain't nobody there during the day. There's something going on. These kind of businesses are thriving. Okay? The reason why they're thriving is because people are not out in the day. Everyone's at home. So you can do a whole lot of stuff where people ain't seeing. But what shall Christ find faith when he comes back? All right? I'm going to go to my last point here. Let's go to Matthew 25. That's where I'm going to end it at. Matthew 25. I'm going to start at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on the throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another. Sheep separates from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left, and the king will say to those on the right, come who have been blessed of my Father, take your inheritance in the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For as I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger, and you invited me in, I needed clothes, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you look after me. And I was in prison, and you visited me. And the righteous will answer him, Lord, we did these things. We seen you hungry, we fed you, you was thirsty, you had something to drink. And then we have the other one say, when did we see you? And a stranger invited you in, or you needed clothes to clothe you. When did we see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of these least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. That's who he's coming back for. The ones you did the least to. It ain't gotta be the ones that look good. It ain't the ones that look holy because they're around holy. It's so easy to fake it. It's so easy to do that. And I wouldn't even notice because you can be so good at it. But what are you doing when I'm at my lowest? Did you tell me no? Did you say, oh, brother, I pray for you? Or did you say, where are you? I'm coming. What did you say? Prayer is very, very powerful. But when you got an opportunity to come and see me, look me in my eyes, give me a hug, forget about this corona stuff. Come here. That's what he's looking for. Did you study with me when I was struggling? You have the words. God is giving you the gift. He's giving you the word. He knows you know what to say to me. Did you say what you needed to say? Or did you do like that song said? There's a song that talks about you never mention him to me. You don't ever want to hear words like that. If you got any kind of conscience, you are going to say what you need to say. No matter how uncomfortable it is, and how much you don't want to say this or that. Remember, okay, everyone needs to learn about God. Everyone needs to learn about Christ. You don't want to be that one, all right? Does anyone here that want to put Christ on the baptism has not had the opportunity? First thing you must do is hear God's word. Upon hearing it, you just need to believe it. After that, you need to repent of your sins and confess, Lord, confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and God will give you a crown of life if you so be faithful unto death. If there's anyone here that want to put Christ on the baptism, may do it right now as we stand and sing.